Turn in your Pew Bibles, or New King James Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 84 for our Psalm meditation today. Psalm 84, on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my
prayer. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen. Sorry about that. Okay, last week we finished a series in the Psalms of Asaph. And we begin now this section in the book of Psalms that doesn't really seem to be a cohesive thread going through the next several Psalms. This one, Psalm 84, well, last week in 83, we finished up looking at the gospel going out to the nations and how God the Lord, Jehovah God, will set His church upon the world and will defeat those who try to stop it or stomp it out. Here in Psalm 84, the psalmist, new psalmist, the sons of Korah, look inward more. We're not looking at the world. We're not looking at conquering. We're not looking at spreading the gospel particularly. But now we're resting in the covenant. And Psalm 84 is a psalm about worship, but it's a psalm about living in the land of promise, living within the covenant. And it begins, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Jehovah of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Now this is a very moving opening, and it's one that we should think about. One that we should see as a divine example of how people should look at coming to worship. Not just because it's fun to come and be with our friends, but because we're coming to the house of God. We're coming to see the Lord, to be with Jesus, to be with Jehovah. Here we have the psalmist saying, "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." The desire to be here among the body of Christ here in the church. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. Now, sparrows and swallows are not the most important animals. And we know this in the New Testament, where it's a picture of these birds that God even cares for them. How much more does He care for you? And if we apply that to this, it becomes very clear that in God's grace in establishing the tabernacle, the animals find shelter and the animals find a home. But even more, how much the people of God, the people of the covenant. "My King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." Selah. Now the thought here, the idea, is those who are here in the house of God will praise Him here, but they will still continue to praise God even as they move out. The image, to some degree, are the people who live within the area of the tabernacle, the priests and the Levites. But we know that in the New Testament, we are the holy priesthood, right? We are the people of God as well. So how blessed are we who dwell all our life within the covenant? "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, That's a desert valley, one that doesn't have a lot of water and trees. They make it a spring. The rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one appearing before God in Zion. Now, it was a great sacrifice in those days. It was a long way to get to church. Now, some of us have a long way to get to church now, in an air-conditioned car with springs and shock absorbers, and it's comfortable. These people were walking through the desert to get to the tabernacle. They could only go, many of them, those three times a year when it was required. They couldn't get to the tabernacle every week. They had to settle for the synagogue. But how blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, who wanted to make their way to church, to get to the temple, to go to where the pictures of the covenant were, the sacrifices. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Now here we have the Selah, which is generally considered to mean to stop and to think, a pause. But look at the verse that refers to, O Jehovah, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And we stop for a moment. That's quite the call for God to listen, isn't it? This is very specific. It's a very needy call for God to listen. And look at the next verse. O God, behold our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed. Now, this is clearly a messianic psalm. The shield, of course, is Jesus. When we come before God, we would be consumed if it weren't for the covenant, for grace, if it weren't for Jesus. And the cry is, as we come before God, listen, listen to my prayer, look upon Jesus, look upon our shield, so that I may live and be with you. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Even a servant in the church is better than a prince among men. For the Lord God is shield and sun, or sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing we withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Now this is a favorite psalm of many of us, certainly among the list of favorite psalms for psalm singers that we know. And it's one that doesn't really need a lot of explanation. We're all familiar with it. We all know what it means. We all have sung it many times. But it's a beautiful psalm. And sometimes being familiar with something means we don't give it the thought that it really needs. The first part of the psalm is how great it is to come before God. The second part, how great it is to have a Savior, a Messiah that protects us from our sin, from the death it deserves. So we're going to sing the first part of this now, and we'll sing the second part later this afternoon. But as we sing this, let's get into it. Let's not just sing a familiar tune that we know and love so much. This is the Word of God, and it's a Word telling us how we should view coming before the Lord. So we'll sing Psalm 84, Part A.